start the year out, right? Oh, I love it. I love it. We can relate. Some of you have those New Year's resolutions. Maybe it's to get organized, help others, learn something new. Maybe it's getting out of debt, quit drinking, enjoy life more, quit smoking, lose weight, get fit. Maybe spend more time with family, friends. And we always start out the year, you know, we're going to do it, and this is going to be great. And then along the way, here's what happens. We begin to get into February, and all of a sudden, we go downhill, right? When I work out at the rec a lot, and it's interesting because we get a lot of new people in January. It's not long before they're no longer there, and then you see the regulars, right? It's interesting how statistics will show you when you start a New Year's resolution, usually by February 14th is when you usually bail out. Today we're going to talk about the idea of making this year a little different, why this year can be different, and to know that we can have a fresh start. And it's always good because when we turn the page and it's a new year, there should be that idea of setting some goals and then following through with those goals. But along the way, we don't do it because there's this real key to real long-lasting change in our lives, and it's called discipline. The D word. We all hate that one, discipline. It's not easy following through and making a commitment and saying, okay, I'm going to do what I need to do because it's important and I want to achieve those goals. I like that definition up there. Discipline, not desire, determines your destiny. So you can have a desire all you want, but unless you follow through and have the discipline to follow through, you're not going to meet the goals that you have. A couple other definitions of discipline. How about this? It's doing what you don't want to do when you don't want to do it. Or how about this? It's the bridge between goals and accomplishment. Discipline, following through and saying, okay, here's some goals. I need to set those goals, but I need to follow through. And it takes discipline on our part to follow through with that. A few years ago, we had a group that met in January, February. We did Weight Watchers together. Great accountability. We lost a lot of weight. Great accountability. And we did January, February. We had the Bible study together. We did Weight Watchers together. And here's what I learned along the way. A couple things why that was successful. Number one, there was accountability. And we had accountability every Saturday we'd come in. And we'd actually have the scale right there. And we'd weigh, how you doing? What's going on? So every week there was some accountability there. But there was great encouragement with each other, and even during the week, there's a lot of different people saying, hey, how are you doing? What's going on here? Or when somebody would say, man, I'm really struggling with trying to keep my, on to the task of keeping within the diet and everything else, there was encouragement that came along the way, and a couple people would just, you know, text or email or say, hey, how you doing? Want to encourage you. I'm praying for you, that type of thing. Here's what I found. When there's accountability, it makes a difference. When you have accountability, iron sharpens iron, so one person sharpens another. And when we have accountability, you're able to better meet the goals that you're set. Because there's nothing like having somebody to say, how you doing? What's going on here? My son-in-law is a college coach, and it's interesting how much accountability there is in football teams, especially at his level, and how, you know, even when you would think they have some off time, there is huge accountability to make sure those guys are eating right, exercising, doing everything so that they can meet the goals that they have. I have this sheet that I saw recently that Sean had out at the cottage because he was in this week, and it shows this barracuda or something like that, and it has this whole exercise routine that these guys have to do starting in January. They're already starting for the next year. Accountability makes a difference. When we have discipline and there's some accountability in there, you're able to better meet the goals. But here's the other thing I think is really important as Christ followers. Because we can have the willpower, the strength, and it's all about us. But here's what I find. I find that when we have the discipline and there's some accountability, but also when we turn things over to the Lord and we say it's about strength in the Lord, we're better able to meet the goals that we have. because it's nothing like trying to have it in your own strength and your own will and thinking that you can do it and you can accomplish it. And out there in our culture, our society, it's all about that. But we have something else. There's a resource available to us. And in Philippians 4:13, it says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And so I can have that ability to meet that goal with the strength that comes from the Lord, where I can pray and I can seek Him out and say, Lord, would you help me? I want to lose weight this year. You know that's important. Would you give me the discipline to do that? And when I don't want to continue with that diet or I don't want to do the exercise, Lord, would you give me strength to follow through and have the discipline to do that? We need to have that reliance on the Lord. To follow through if we're going to have and achieve some of those goals that we have. In your life, I don't know what those are. I almost guarantee you're with a lot of us where that video showed, you know, you just, you know, have this high bar, you know, and you set it high, and then the next thing you know, it's like, well, I can't reach that, so I lower the standard, right? Next year, lower it even more. We do that a lot. And I think at times we need to come back to saying, okay, what is the goal and what do I want to do? I need to follow through. I need the people around me to be accountable. I need that accountability, but I also need that reliance on the Lord. Also, I know this, that when you don't meet the goal, don't beat yourself up. Get back at it. Set a new goal for the new year. That's why it's always good to have a new year, a New Year's resolution. I think that's good because we can have a new start, okay? It's a new year. You can do it this year. Last year, I set the goal to read through the Bible in 1 year. And I have my Bible, you know, that is marked out, Old Testament, New Testament, Psalms, Proverbs. And I'm halfway through. I'm excited. You know, I'm halfway through. And I only have, you know, today to finish, you know. Yay! I got all day to finish my goal. Well, I'm not going to meet that goal, right? But I'm not going to beat myself up either. And I'm going to keep staying at it because here's what I found. When I spend time in His Word and there's some good messages right from His Word, right, that relate to my life, I find these nuggets that help me and encourage me. And I want more of that. I don't want less of that. So this year, I hope, okay, I'm going to finish it, but I hope I even finish early. Wouldn't that be good? And do another devotional, another study, or whatever. Don't beat yourself up, you know? Laugh about it, but get back at it. And I know for some of you, it's a hard struggle with maybe it's weight, or maybe it's being in debt, maybe it's being overwhelmed with some of these things in your life, and you just want to get a handle on them. I don't know what it is in your life, but God's going to surface that, and He's going to encourage you to have the discipline to follow through. And He's going to use accountability, and He's going to use prayer and relying on the Lord to help you this year to accomplish those goals. When it comes to your relationship with Jesus, I think there needs to be a different way of looking at life in that way as well. I think this year is going to be different when it comes to following Jesus. And I got four reasons why. Because first of all, I'm going to be more teachable. I'm going to raise the level when it comes to my commitment. I like that one song that we did today where it's just like, we can go deeper. You can settle for this level or we can go deeper in our relationship with Jesus. I hope I always desire more of my relationship with Jesus, turning things more over to Him, growing and developing in my relationship with Him. I hope that never changes. I hope when I'm in my 90s, you know, I'm still desiring to be more like Jesus Christ and know Him better and spending time with Him. I hope that never changes because it renews our spirit. It encourages that work of God's Spirit within us. I like this passage in Psalm 139, verse 23, where he says, "Search me, O God, know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts, and see if there's any offensive way in me, and lead me in the everlasting way." In your life, where is it that God's just wanting to show you some areas in your life where you need to kind of look at and develop just a conviction in your spirit to just say, you know what? I need you to make some change in my life, Lord. Maybe for you, it's the road rage. Like you're developing this really huge road rage and you're like, I'm a Christ follower and that shouldn't happen. And when I get in that car, all of a sudden, I don't want to be a Christ follower. I don't want to follow Jesus there. Maybe for you, you're searching your spirit and saying, God, show me how I can turn that over to you so that I can be more of a Christ follower in the car, and that sanctification could occur there, not just at other times. Maybe for you, it's saying, you know what, there's some things in my life that I'm not proud of that's a secret that nobody else knows. But it breaks that fellowship with you and it just grieves your spirit. Maybe it's pornography. Maybe it's a situation where you're in a relationship. We know that's not a healthy relationship. It's moving you away from the wife that you love. Maybe it's something where nobody else knows, but you know what's going on there. And God's saying, would you allow me to help you and search your spirit and search the allow God to work in your heart and so that there's such a way of surfacing that and confessing and bringing it to the surface so that God can heal that in your life. So you don't have to deal with that addiction, or you don't have to deal with that area that's so private and so shameful that you can bring to the surface and allow God to just clean it up and allow his healing and his grace to cover. I don't know for you what it is, but this idea of saying as a follower of Christ, I'm going to be more teachable and I'm going to grow in this area. There's nothing like having a teachable spirit that says, I want to grow. And God, I'm all in. I'm ready to go deeper. I'm all in. That makes a huge difference as a Christ follower. Another area, this year is going to be different because when it comes to following Jesus, I'm going to learn to sit. You're saying, what's with that? How about this passage? Have you ever seen this passage? Mary and Martha. For some of you, you're Martha, and you hate this whole thing because you're the one that's been doing dishes over the last couple weeks here. When everybody comes in, you're the one doing the dishes, cleaning up, doing everything. You're like, we need more Marthas, right? Oh, for the Marthas that take care of all this stuff. I mean, what would happen if we didn't have the Marthas? Some of you are like, that's my sister. She's the Martha. I just want to hang out. I just want to spend time in relationship. Maybe you're the Mary, just likes the relationship. Dishes get higher and higher and higher, And all that's taking place in this context where Jesus enters into that world. And I really think there's a reminder for all of us that we're all different. I don't think he's trying to beat up on Martha in this passage, but I also think he's saying to all of us, there's something really important, and sitting at the feet of Jesus is really, really important. As Jesus and his disciples were on their way, he came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home to him. She had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he said. But Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. And she came to him and asked, Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do the work by myself? Tell her to help me. Martha, Martha, the Lord answered, you're worried about and upset about many things, but few things are needed, or indeed only one. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her. I don't think there's anything wrong with being a Martha, as long as you take time to sit at the feet of Jesus. I don't think Mary had it all together. I think she probably needed to do a little bit more action and be a little bit more of a Martha, a servant. That would be good. But she did understand the value of sitting at the feet of Jesus. And I think for all of us, no matter how we're wired, for all of us, there's that important discipline of sitting at the feet of Jesus, opening up his word and saying, Lord, would you speak in my life? Encourage me from your word today. Help me to just take some time to pray and connect with my Savior, the one who leads and guides. Help me to know that you're right here with me. And as a follower of Jesus, you're going to be with me throughout the day. And so as I take some time to sit at your feet and just listen and engage and converse, there's something refreshing that will come from that time of sitting. In our Martha kind of world where it's always go, 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 faster, 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 there's something very refreshing about sitting at the feet of Jesus. And for us to, as followers, to have more of that time so that we're able to engage in the culture around us, so that we're able to work in an environment that is far from God, in a way where people see Jesus in our lives, for us to have that time where we sit at the feet of Jesus changes what goes on in our spirit. And if you don't have the discipline to do that, you're not going to be that light in the world around you. You need that time with Jesus and sitting at his feet. And then another reminder for us when it comes to being different this year, when it comes to raising the level of being a Christ follower and what it means to be a Christ follower, it's going to be different this year because being a servant is going to have a high value. I'm just not going to say it's not important. I'm going to say being a follower of Jesus, if I'm going to be a follower of Jesus, I need to understand the heart of Jesus. And Jesus was all about being a servant, about dying to self and ministering to other people, giving to the needs of the people around him. Whoever would be great among you must be your servant. Whoever would be first among you must be your slave, even as the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. Jesus, above everything, was a servant, humbly meeting the needs of the people around him. And as Christ followers, if we want to raise the level when it comes to being a Christ follower, we need to get this area. We need to understand what it means to be that servant. Because in our culture, it's so self-centered, so about us. And the last thing you see are people wanting to serve, wanting to meet the needs. I think of the verse where it reminds us of Philippians to not just think of our own needs, but think about the needs of the people around us. Consider their needs first before your needs. Think of what would have happened this last week if that would have been more on your heart. What would have looked like? What would it look like? And how would it be different in your family situations if you were that servant above everything else and just meeting needs and encouraging others and understanding what the person in your situation needed, what needs they have? Because we're pretty good at meeting the needs when it comes to our gifts, right? Giving them gifts, giving our kids gifts. But what does it mean to serve them and giving of ourselves emotionally and as a friend, as a parent? What does it mean to give of ourselves and die to self to serve their needs? More of Christ and following his that whole goal of being a servant, then people glorify our Father in heaven when they see that kind of service unto the Lord. When I was at Marshall University, Ed Tubbs discipled me, and I will never be the same because of his discipleship and showing me what it means above everything else to be a servant. And him giving of himself, having kids over to the house, and providing pizza and donuts and everything else, you know, unhealthy that college students love, because it wasn't about that. It was just about creating an environment that these kids, you know, maybe far from God, would get an up close and personal encounter with somebody that loved Jesus Christ. And he started by meeting the needs and being a servant. And in light of that came faith down the road. And I was just blown away. I learned more probably in that year of watching Ed live out Jesus than 4 years of seminary. I mean, he got it. He understood what it means to model servanthood and living for Jesus, because it wasn't about him. It was about the Lord Jesus Christ. And then one last area for us to be stretched in, to grow in, when it comes to being a follower. It's going to be different this year because I know I have a purpose. I have a purpose. And when I live out that purpose and I become to others the light that God wants, it makes a difference. For you're the light of the world. That's the reminder for all of us. I love the candlelight service and the beauty of it all, and saying, okay, we're not just here in this place and we're the light here in this place, but we're the light of the world. We go out from this place and we're meant to be light to show others what the Father is all about, the Heavenly Father is all about. And I like what Andy Stanley said here, because he says, okay, do for the one what you wish you could do for everyone. You can't be the light to everyone. You can't do everything for everyone, but you can do something for someone. There's somebody in your life that you can be that light, that you could encourage them with faith, that you could be praying for them and saying, hey, I just want you to know, I've been thinking about you. I just want to come alongside. I want to encourage you. I've been watching Bev do this for years at Target. She deals with a lot of unchurched people, far from God. She's light there in that world in which God has called her to. And right now, she's just really ministering to some of those friends that she has. She provides, you know, maybe gets McDonald's for them, or just, hey, I want to do this. And not that, you know, she has to, but she does that just to say, I care. And it makes a difference. But every one of you have your environment where you're light to that world around you. And maybe God's surfacing that one person in your life that you could be light to and you could encourage. And maybe through your witness and through the purpose that God has called you, you can help lead them to faith in the Lord Jesus. Don't think that your influence doesn't matter. It does. And as the world grows darker, because it really is growing darker in a lot of ways, that little light that you show is getting bright. It's incredible what your witness does in the life of somebody around you that's far from God. And when they see Jesus in your life, it makes a difference. So today, just a reminder for all of us, whether it's a goal that you have and you need the discipline to be able to follow through with that goal, maybe God's surfacing something in your life that you want to follow through with, my prayer is that you would have accountability and that you would pray and ask God to help you with that goal. And if you feel like a failure, you just feel like, you know, it's just another year and I'm just not going to do it, my encouragement is to live life where there's faith and strength and keep setting some goals, keep being stretched, keep allowing the Lord to get you out of the boat where you're uncomfortable and you have to walk on water. Don't settle for just maintaining. Allow the Lord to work. And so you failed last year. Get back in the boat. Get out of the boat. Get back in the water. Start walking again. Start looking to see Jesus, okay? Follow him. Keep your eyes on him, the author and perfecter of your faith. Don't settle for just staying comfortable in the boat. And then for all of us as followers of Jesus, what is it? I gave you four different ways that you can kind of, you know, raise the level of being what it means to be a Christ follower. Maybe it's none of these areas. Maybe it's something else that the Lord's just saying, as a follower of Jesus, I want to do better this year. Maybe it's having that teachable spirit, being more willing to grow. Maybe it's following through with something where you're saying, man, above everything, I need to sit at the feet of Jesus. I don't do enough of that. I'm more about talking and being the Martha. I need to be more of a Mary and sitting at the feet of Jesus and connecting with him. Maybe for each and every one of us, something that I said today, surface something for you as a Christ follower. My prayer is that you raise the level so that people see in you Jesus. For I've been crucified with Christ, and it's no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life I live now by faith, I live in faith in the Lord Jesus, right? I live in faith in him. And I want to show others what that faith is all about. Let's pray as we close. Lord, I thank you for today and just a reminder of what it means to be that follower of you. I pray, Lord, today that you'd encourage us down that path where we would just understand and know more of what it means to have the follow through and the discipline in areas so that when we set some goals that maybe this year could be different and we'd see some really good improvement in different areas of our lives. Maybe it's getting out of debt and some things there. Maybe it's trying to have a better handle on our weight, or maybe it's that addiction that we're dealing with and we want to turn that over to you. I don't know what it is, Lord, but would you help us with those areas? And for all of us as Christ followers, I pray that Jesus and being more like Jesus would be in the center of our hearts and lives, and that this year would be different because we said, you know what, I'm taking seriously what it means to be a follower of you. And I want you to be the one that continues to shape my life. I want your DNA embedded in my heart and mind, and so that people see Jesus. I'm designed for that purpose, and I don't want to settle for less. Lord, would you encourage me today to be that kind of Christ follower? And help me to connect with you and to take some time, even over the last, the next couple of days, just to say, Lord, what is it that 2018 is going to bring that I want my relationship with you? I pray that you'd encourage me to take that time. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. As we close today, we're going to close with communion, at a time of communion. It's good to take this time to say, Lord, you're the one that is our Lamb of God. You're the one that provided for us redemption. And Jesus, the bread of life, we take communion celebrating Jesus, the bread of life. Come down the middle aisle, and then you can go out to the side. You can take the items as you wish, or you can do it at the very end when I take the communion. Thank you. In Jesus, there's life. 2018 is going to be an awesome year of growing as a Christ follower because there's life in Jesus. Allow Him to lead and guide you. More of Jesus, less of self in the coming year. He's the bread of life. Do this in remembrance of Him. Let's pray together. Lord, we ask Your blessing as sons and daughters. We thank You that we can have communion and remember all of what took place there at the cross and how You provided the redemption for us. You're the Lamb of God. You're the bread of life. You're the one that gives us life. Thank You for that life in You. We celebrate that today through communion this time together. May it be more about You and less about us in the coming year for Your glory and for Your honor. And all that we do, in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.